This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Please pray with me. Holy God, you have called us to follow the way of your risen Son and to care for those who are our companions, not only with words of comfort, but with acts of love. Seeking to be true friends of all, open our eyes to those locked in rooms of grief, despair, physical pain, disappointment, and fear, that all may know the power of resurrected life in you. Amen. Please be seated. I do understand that there's been a precedent here of having a Holy Humor Sunday following Easter. And in light of that, I'd like to just share something. My husband and I are taking our two dogs to obedience school, so I wanted to tell you about this episode that happened that I heard about. That during the last 2 to 3 years, it was really easy to get a ticket at a movie theater. You could, if you've been there and you've gone to one, you know that you can buy the popcorn and there is going to be no one around you. You may be one of 3 or 4 or 5 in that theater. So a man went and had his seat and he was watching this wonderful movie and he noticed that there was a woman ahead of him and she had her dog in the theater. But the dog was following the movie, and when it came to a humorous spot, the dog would laugh. And he thought this was a, so he watched to see the timing. Was he really doing this or was she doing some? No, he'd laugh at every part. So afterwards, he approached her cautiously and said, "I just have to ask you." He said, "This is the most amazing thing. I've been watching this dog watch the movie, and he laughs at all the right places." And she said, "Yeah, he really is amazing. He hated the book." I love that joke. I really, really do. Well, today is a glorious day, the second Sunday of Easter, and we still have the scent of the wonderful, beautiful flowers and the church that looks so beautiful, and just that scent of risen Lord, of that joy in our lives and still reliving it. And today we're reminded that things come of this, things come of it. And we're right immediately reminded in a different way with a reading from Acts. And in Acts, it's the Pentecost. And we're really fast-forwarded on that. But there is a point definitely that Peter is making. They've just been anointed by the Holy Spirit with the tongues of fire. And he steps outside in Jerusalem and he gives this wonderful sermon. This wonderful sermon that will end in fantastic results in terms of people's hearts being turned to the Lord. But what he starts out about is he says that on that day, that Jesus of Nazareth, this man who was handed over according to a definite plan of God, and we think back to the prologue of John, and he, with a plan, in the plan and foreknowledge of God, was killed and crucified. And yet, God raised up, freed him from death, because it was impossible for death to hold him captive, and in that to behold his power. And it was this man Jesus, God raised up. Of that, all of us, the 11 plus me, being Peter, are witnesses. Okay, first you see 11, so they've incorporated in another person for that spot of the 12 where Judas has left one vacant. And he's standing with them behind him, and they have seen the Lord, so they are witnesses. And they have the firsthand knowledge of having seen Jesus physically in the flesh, as we read in the Gospel of John. The gospel today is called a little Pentecost. A little Pentecost, it's the last reading other than the fishing scene at the end. And that is, they believe, tacked on, but this completion of the gospel, they're there with the doors locked, gathered together. They're all there, but of course Thomas. And the doors are locked. And we think, well, of course they're locked. Of course they're locked. Weren't they just last together when they were at the Last Supper? They got into the garden, and here come people too with clubs and swords to arrest Jesus. And what do? They flee. Peter has been crucified. Crucified, not just by governmental authority, but by the crowds yelling, crucify him. They have been in this room, fearful of who may be coming up or going down those steps. And into this atmosphere, Mary Magdalene had gone earlier to say, I've seen the Lord. But that wasn't enough to unlock those doors. She has gone. They keep them locked. They're still in a state of fear. And in this, Jesus appears to them. Peace, peace be with you. Can you imagine who those who had not been at the foot of the cross, those who had run, those who had hidden, those who are hiding now? And he comes amongst them and says, peace, peace be with you. And they can see him. They know it's him. He extends his hand. They can see the wound on his side. And in that, they know it is the Lord. And they do what we all would do, which is absolutely rejoice. Defies all logic. But the risen Lord indeed has risen and is there before them. In those locked doors that remain locked, Jesus then tells them that peace be with you, peace, my peace. And he breathes on them that Holy Spirit. He breathes on them. And in that rejoicing, they know that there is a fullness of life, that God is with them in this risen Christ. And they know that even in the fear, there is life, life worth living. So he says, the sins that you forgive are forgiven, and the ones you retain are retained. Interesting follow-up, but yet in this community that has been torn apart by fear, by feelings of having betrayed the Lord just by the lack of being there, of wondering, yet Jesus says there's forgiveness in community because we're not all going to be full of belief and without doubt at the same time. Our goal is, of course, to work towards that sureness that Paul describes as gold. He describes it as gold because it is something that has been handed down just as tradition has been handed down. This inheritance of knowing a risen Lord has also. And if we think about it, we think about witnessing, we think about being witnessed to, we have been witness to the risen Lord in our lives. We may have been like Mary, where the risen Lord appears to us and we have some fantastic experience of the closeness of the Lord, either physically or in our readings or scripture or however the Lord has approached us to remind us that there's life, in him, that he has come to show us that way of life together, following his example of love, that last commandment, that first commandment he gave them. It may be in terms of the apostles, where he appears in a group and we go to an experience of the Lord in a service, or at a funeral, or together praying or studying, and we know the risen Lord is in our midst. Or it may be that we just have the quiet experience of having other people witness to us by their lives. And in that being passed down, as you think from generation to generation, we think of the people who have rubbed shoulders with us. And came to mind two people in a church that I sort of grew up in, and in it there were two that just stood out so vividly as their witness to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And in it was, first, we called her Gertie. And he'd say, how are you, Gertie? She said, oh, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. When her husband died, you doing okay? I'm grateful. I'm grateful. When she had to move and didn't really want to, how are you? Gertie said, I'm grateful. You knew that she was grateful to that risen Lord who was the rock of her faith. The other one was Bertie. Bertie is a wonderful, wonderful, very, very quiet man, slim. He was into technology. He liked to do the sound system at the church. He did it very, very quietly and always with expertise. And Bertie did amazing things in such a quiet, wonderful way. He loved to play dominoes, so he'd be in the parish hall. And if any child or young adult wanted to learn to play dominoes, you could go and sit, and he'd tell you how to do it. And he'd play a game, and there would be sort of a little collection of people playing dominoes over in a corner. He also loved to play the fiddle. And he would give lessons to anyone who wanted to come, and they went into did competitions, and they won all over the state of Florida. But his heart was in it. He loved doing that. But the thing that I really, since I don't play the fiddle and I didn't play dominoes, the other thing he did was he started a meditation group on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock in the Lady Chapel of the church where we all attended. And with the flickering lights and the silence of the atmosphere of sitting still and being together, but together with Jesus' presence was powerful, was powerful. When he died, we lost a friend, but we knew for certain where he was. So Jesus calling out and going to Mary and reassuring her, and then going to, and her response, Rabboni, coming to the 11 in the room and the others that are gathered with them, peace be with you. Thomas felt left out. Thomas finally shows up for whatever reason. We don't know why he was there, except we know Thomas from a little bit of our scripture. When it was when Jesus, in what's called the table discourses, three chapters before he begins the foot washing and the dinner that they have together before he is arrested, in that, Jesus explains that he will be going away, but they'll know the way to him. Good old Thomas. Lord, how do we know the way? We don't know what you're talking about. Where's the way? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then when he gets a summons to go heal Lazarus, what happens? It is Thomas who says, you know, we've just left the temple where you were preaching twice, Feast of Dedication and another feast. And do you know what? They picked up stones to throw them at you to kill you. And you want us to go back toward there? Well, I guess we're just all going to go there and die. So very much a realist, very much understanding the times and what's going on. But he wasn't part of them. And when he is there that second time, when Jesus appears to them, peace be with you. Don't you know his eyes were toward Thomas? He said, here, touch, here. And it says, throw your hand in. That's what the Greek says. Throw your hand into these wounds. Feel them. And Thomas gives the statement of the Gospel of John as begun in the prologue, developed throughout, of the reminder of those discourses, I will send the advocate. You will not be left as orphans. He will explain the truth and all that I've taught to you before, and you'll be there, and you're going to be witnesses, and what you need will be provided. And God protect them, his prayer of protection for his disciples. And Thomas says, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my God. It is at that point, in that exaltation in Thomas, that the gospel reminds us that this is for us, that we who have not seen and who believe, that we are not being immediate eyewitnesses, yet Jesus has not forgotten us either. Jesus is pointing out that we indeed, even though we may doubt, can believe, that even though our blessed are those who have not seen and not yet come to believe. And Peter reminds us in his epistle that he says, you who have not seen him and love him, and even though you do not see him, you believe in him and you rejoice, and that you are receiving the outcome of your faith. It is this tender Jesus, this loving Jesus, that goes to those who need his assurance that indeed he is risen, that his life mattered, that our lives matter, and that we are together in this life eternal, wrapped in a God that loves us through all times. We are reminded that it is Mary Magdalene who not only runs and says, I have seen the Lord, but she says, Jesus says to say to you, my brothers, I am ascending to God. And in that, he reassures them that no matter what has happened, the witness of his life, the witness of his death and resurrection continues. So while we are there in this life, as we might struggle with doubt, with things that upset us in terms of disappointments, that turn our lives upside down, we have a Lord that seeks us out. Him, his disciples, his witnesses are in our lives. But it also asks us in those rooms that are locked, where our wounds are there, to turn them to him, to let him heal our wounds, to let him into our lives where we have suffered those disappointments and say, no, no, no more. Not just doubt, but no more. To know that God is there through Christ and that those who love him, and that in that we are offered, always given the invitation to return, to be part, to be loved, to be nurtured in that love in Christ and in community. And for that, we give thanks on the day of the risen Lord 1 week later. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.